As we come to your feet to learn your words again, we pray that you open our eyes, open our hearts, and let the word mix with faith in us to do us good in Jesus' name. Thank you because we have answered, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Good evening, everyone, once again. Welcome to Bible study. So this evening I'll be talking on, as we continue in our theme for the month, the value of wisdom. So I will wrap up the message I started on Sunday, and this evening's topic will be compliments of having wisdom. Compliments of having wisdom. So we've said so many things about the value of wisdom. I started by saying on Sunday that there are requirements that you need to have for you to have wisdom. And we looked at what is the cost of not having wisdom, the consequences of lacking in wisdom. We consider that, and we also look at the conditions for wisdom. So this evening, we'll be looking at the compliments of having wisdom. But first, before we do that, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 from verses 1 to 13. It's a very familiar story of the 10 virgins. So I'll read from verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, they are all Christians, which took their lamp and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So they are all Christians. They've been born again, they know the Lord. But then the Bible says that they are qualified because they've given their life to Christ. But one walk while others prefer to just sit, pray, and do nothing. So you see some Christians today, they say, because I've given my life to Christ, and then they want to pray God's miracle to happen without doing anything. And the Bible says faith without work is nothing. So there was a time I saw one very young man, able, agile, but he said he's a prophet. I said, prophet of which one? And then he said, I should come and donate. Is it 500 blocks that he wants to build a church? So I was laughing. You are a young, able-bodied man now. Let me employ you to sales. Come and be selling financial products. Then the kingdom of heaven is likened unto these 10 virgins. They took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. So in this place is Pictoria. The bridegroom is the marketplace where we are today. Even in the church of God where we sit today, if you don't have a skill and you think that somebody will single you out to come and bless you, you are just joking. Because what value are you adding to that person? Verse 2 says, "And five of them were wise, and five were foolish." So are you wise today? Or are you in the other camp? So after giving your life to Christ, is there a certificate for you to now sit on your armchair in the living room and be waiting for manna to fall from heaven? You know, manna stopped falling after children of Israel entered Canaan, because God knew when they had nothing to do. They were walking in the wilderness for 40 years. So there's no land to cultivate, so he was feeding them. But the moment he took them to the promised land, manna stopped. So you have to walk, till the ground. So are you wise today? Are you like the five wise virgins or the five foolish virgins? Verse 3 says, "They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." They took their lamp, but no extra oil. So some people say, since I'm born again, the collective anointing covers everybody. They wake up in the morning, no talking to God, no inspiration, nothing. They just say, thank God I'm alive today. Once I'm alive, manna will fall from heaven. Out they go. No pray. They only pray, no walk. They are living on faith to say that, yes, everything will happen because God will supply my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I have a father that has everything. So they are claiming all the promises. When they call them to say, there's a job, they say, in fact, I woke up on the right side, on the wrong side of the bed today. The Holy Spirit is leading me to do a marathon prayer. Pray from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Miracles will happen. The foolish one took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4 says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp." So these ones don't leave things to chances. They take charge of their lives. So when you are someone that leaves things to chances, then you also, it's just like someone who has no plan. Naturally, you will fall into other people's plan. So that's when somebody will call you, I have a party at Ilesha on Saturday. There will be rice and beans, very plenty. You jump into the car, you go. And then on your way to Ilesha, the bandits will come on the road and then they kidnap everybody because you have no plan. Do you understand? So they say that the wise one, they took their vessels and extra lamp. These are the ones that they take charge. When you take charge of your life, it's going to be very difficult for someone to come and distract you and take you into the place where you don't want to go. Verse 5 says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So this is telling us that the night will come. There will be valleys, there will be hills, there will be ups and downs. There will be a period where you'll be frustrated, where it will look like all hope is lost, where you feel like, what am I even living for? When you feel dejected. So it means nobody is immune against disaster. Nobody is immune against problem. If you think that, this person, the life is very rosy. See the way the face is shining. See the way he's walking. See the dresses. See the car he's wearing. It's because you are not in that person's position. If you are in that person's position, you will imagine the kind of headache that person is having. So in a nutshell, he's saying that if you are not wise, and then you come to that point where push comes to shove, where everything looks like everything is turning black. You graduated, there's no work for 5 years, or you've married, there's no issue for 10 years. There are people who give birth maybe at 60-something. And then you are thinking, what will I do? At that point, if you don't have the wisdom of God, there's every likelihood that you can stray away. Verse 6 says, at midnight, there was a cry. So it means there's no how long suffering takes. There's no how long that frustration takes. One day, there will be a ray of hope. There will be a dim of light. It says, at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out of the court to meet him. So who are the people that can go out of the court to go and meet him? Then in verse 7, it says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. So the shallow Christian who has been sleeping, when opportunity comes knocking, then there is nothing to present yourself to do it. Some people say that there is nothing called luck. Luck is preparation plus opportunity. So it is when you have prepared to actually take advantage of that opportunity that comes. That's when they say you're lucky. And you remember we always talk about the 5 minutes elevator pitch. So imagine today you meet yourself in the same elevator with Aliko Dangote. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? In less than 2-3 minutes, the man just launched his new petrochemical station yesterday. And he says, what do you want me to do? Can you? And I'm telling you, serious facts. There's somebody one day, he said, I want to see the governor. This is somebody very close to me that I know. And the person tried all he could. And one day, the governor said, this person has been troubling me. He sent his PA to say, call this person to come and see me. Give me an appointment for around 6 p.m. So this person was given an appointment for 6 p.m. He saw the governor and he was shaking. That's the opportunity. He could not ask the governor for any. At the end of the day, guess what the person got? Just 50,000 naira. So he just started rambling. When he finished, the governor told his PA to say, give him transport money, 50,000 naira. And that was it. All the toil, all the suffer, I want to see the governor. It was during the days of Ajimobi. It happened to somebody I know live. He saw him, and all he got from him was 50,000 naira. So if you are in that position, what would you ask the governor? Preparation plus opportunity is what they call luck. So they said, all those virgins arose in verse 7, they trimmed their lamps. Verse 8 says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. No more energy, no more power. Nothing. They do not have any residue. As they were Christians, they never grew to take up opportunities. So in church today, when the leaders are calling to say, join a department to work, it is to build your faith. So that when you're alone, you have something you can work on and say, yes, I can rely on those promises. Because it's like a baby that has been feeding on milk. The baby can't feed on milk forever. You have to start feeding on something solid. You start from milk, maybe from breast milk to cereal, from cereal, then you start eating something solid so that the bone can be strong, so that the mental capacity can also develop. But if you remain at that position, when that time comes, when you need to show that you also have something, a force to reckon with, there will be nothing to show. Verse 9 says, so when the foolish started asking the wise one to say, give us out of your oil, then in verse 9 it says, but the wise answered saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. So there are situations that things will become too late. When push comes to shove, you are alone in it. So it is how prepared you are that you will now face it. So for example, you are saying, I want to get married. And then you have a picture of the kind of guy you want to marry. By the time you get into the marriage, they say the door will open. You will see everything. We had the men's fellowship on Saturday, and we heard so many stories. I won't divulge some of the things we heard. We had some men that had some preferences, and when the show happened, the preference has disappeared. It was very funny. How prepared are you? Really? Some opportunities comes only but once, and those doors are closed forever. And if you don't take advantage of those opportunities, you might not get them again. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. So it's not everyone that has a chance for second opportunity. Not everybody has that chance. Be wise at hand. So whatever you have to do now, do it now. Learn of the wisdom of God. And remember, we said in James chapter 1, verse 5, we quoted it, and it says that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men. God does not charge for it. It is just your own duty to ask. However, God knows what you are thinking, but he will not force you to ask. So if you don't ask, God assumes that you don't need it. Verse 11 says, afterwards came also the other foolish virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But alas, it was too late. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this is just to tell us that in all situations of life, we need to prepare ourselves. Lack of wisdom is foolishness. Foolishness will always lead to a dead end. It is only wisdom that transforms head knowledge into common sense action. It is only wisdom that can help you. The more responsibility you have, the more of God's wisdom that you require to do what is right. So as they give you additional responsibility, as you become a leader, as you lead people, you could even start very small, but you ask God for wisdom to lead aright. And that was why Solomon, God said, because you have asked for wisdom, he gave him riches and honor. In fact, it was written that we don't know if there was anybody that was as rich as Solomon was before him or after him, because he asked the right thing from God. Wisdom will help you. Wisdom will help preserve you from trouble and disaster. When you are wise, you know, in the contemporary days where we work and all those things, you see a lot of schemings. You see a lot of people planning things. People will come at you, tell you one thing, but deep down inside them, they meant 10 other things. But they will not tell you those 10 other ones. What they will tell you is the one that they know that, oh, you think this is just something natural. But beneath it, they have other intentions. So if you don't have wisdom, how do you deal with people like that? If you don't have wisdom, I've seen when I started working, some people will say, ah, this you must not agree. Take a pen, write a memo to this boss. I will support you. I will also write my own. But by the time they push you, and you'll be the one, you are the good writer, you discover that they will not write jack. Then you are in the waters alone. So the boss, oh, so you want me, you are like Benuso, and you'll be the one to be fired. That is human knowledge for you. So if you are not wise, and it is only wisdom that can keep you from such trouble and disaster, by helping you choose what is right and save you from trouble. Wisdom gives you an edge over others. Just look at the five wise virgins. They knew, they prepared ahead and said, in case this bridegroom, in case he doesn't come in 1 hour, let me take extra oil. Do you understand? So that when it doesn't come, I have something to refill again and then recharge myself so that I can wait and be ready for him. It is only wisdom that can give you such edge over help to succeed where failure is the norm. Wisdom gives you an edge in all areas where they think that failure is the norm. In Nigeria today, people say it is hard to succeed. People say it is hard to get a job. People say it is hard to do this. People complain a lot and say it is hard, it is hard, it is hard. But as you are complaining, it is hard, it is hard. Some people are having it easy. Some people are getting it right. Some people are making it. I remember one of my colleagues, and then one day she just said, she's like a mentor to, I mentor her. So she now said that I'll be traveling very soon. I said, ah, you two, you have joined the jackpot. He said, no, it's not about jackpot. That Otto Anderson just contacted her. They gave her a form to fill everything, and that she just filled the form, and they've employed her, and they deploy her to UK. All expenses paid. They've gotten a house for her, everything. So there is nothing that is not possible. It is about how prepared are you. There are opportunities all over the world. But are you prepared to get into this opportunity? As people are saying it is hard, people are buying cars today in Nigeria. As people are saying it is hard, people are making money. I'm sure maybe some of us saw the list of highest paid CEOs in Nigeria. I think it was the MD of Airtel that is almost the high. The guy collects almost about 800 million per annum. He's in Nigeria. And you may call without Airtel, hello, you are paying the guy's salary, about 800 million. The MD of MTN, also the same thing. There are people collecting 7 figures, 9 figures in this country. So pray to God that God, take me to the right place with the right wisdom. Give me the skill that will showcase me anywhere and that I will also be recognized and rewarded. I'm sure you heard of a boy that became a commissioner in Oyo State. After graduation, he has not even worked anywhere. He became a commissioner because probably he had a first class or something. He was given that opportunity. Now, some people will even have that opportunity. They will get it, and then they will mess up and mess their career up for the rest of their life. So when you have that opportunity, what you also do with the opportunity matters a lot. Remember that my friend that wanted to see the governor. He saw the governor, but his own terminated at 50,000. Some other people will seize that golden opportunity and they will become better for it for the rest of their life. So where failure seems to be the norm, you should strive to succeed by the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the overall requirement to manage your home. So if there are frustrations today, if there are issues today, it is about the lack of wisdom. When you feel that this problem cannot be resolved, oh, this person has offended me, oh, this person has done this, oh, this person has done that, seek for God's wisdom to deal with that person. It is only wisdom that can help you succeed also in life. Life is not straitjacket. It is not the same solution that will solve all our problems. What will solve mine may not solve yours. So you need to seek the wisdom of God so that you can get the right solution, even in your career. It's not the same thing. This is not algebra mathematics that they will give to everybody. Even in algebra, there are different ways to destination. You can solve your own equation by this. I can solve mine by another way. But you need to ask God that God give me the right wisdom so that you can lead me to where I am supposed to be. So that I will not take the wrong step at the right time or the right step at the wrong time. So that I will always take the right step at the right time. So let us look at what are the benefits of having godly wisdom. What are the benefits of having godly wisdom? That's the complement of having wisdom. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So today, in all that you do, do you seek for the will of God? Knowing the will of God, wisdom helps you to know the will of God. You must start something new. Family, course, job, career, travel. Have you sought the face of the Lord? Do you know where he's taking you to? Maybe your own case is, I want to go to America. Is it America that God has for you to go? Have you sought his face? I have someone, I'll give you an example. One boy, he traveled, he went to Maldives. He was there, he was lucky. He got a job. They gave him papers to start working and everything. But in his mind, he believes that his gold is in America. So he wants to go to America. So he left Maldives on a journey to America. He heard that when you get to Mexico, there is a border in Mexico that can lead into America. He left the good life, good job in Maldives. So when he got to Mexico, they started these stringent campaigns and all those things. They deported him from Mexico. First, he landed in Turkey, from Turkey to Nigeria. He was just lucky to get his passport. So if you don't seek the face of God as to where do you want me to go to, it could be Australia. Where do you want me to go to? It could be Morocco. Where do you want me to go to? God will show you if you need to know his will. Wisdom. But you see, some people today, they come to God with their permissive will. They already know what they want to do in their mind. So they are just going to God for a rubber stamp to say, God, this is where I want to go to. Just rubber stamp it. I want to marry a girl that is earning $2 million in her salary so that at the end of the month, I will not worry about chop money or how to buy gas or this. So I'm looking for a girl that is tall, that is earning $2 million, that has a car, that stays in Bodija. That's their own specification. And then they are going to God. And then in the church, they'll be looking, that sister, where does she work? How much does she earn? So they have a mindset, you know, and they're looking for God to come and rubber stamp that mindset. God doesn't do that. He will give you to your permissive will. God has given us a will, and he has made us a free moral agent. So if you think that you can help yourself, and then you quote the normal adage that says, heaven helps those who help themselves, God will also be looking at you. And then he will allow you to do whatever you want to do. God is always very patient. If it takes you 20 years, if it takes you 15 years to recognize that it is God that can show you the way, he will be looking at you. When Abraham and Sarah, when they conspired together to say, this God is taking too long to answer our prayer, let us do something to help God. They did what they wanted to do. God was looking at them. But at the right time, they came back to God because they were asking God to stamp that one that they did. But God said, that is not my will for you. My own will and wish is still coming. So they came back to God. God is always patient. He is always waiting and looking for you. So in the new career you want to start, in the new family you want to start, in the new journey you want to go to, seek the will of God so that you can enjoy it and it can last forever. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number two, under benefits of having wisdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So what is that telling us? It tells you that the wisdom of God serves as catalyst to help or to make your knowledge very potent. You see, it's very funny when they tell you that one of Picasso's drawing, they sold it for $30 million. And then you look at this thing, you'll be wondering, what exactly is in this thing? But it is inspiration. It is creativity. So it is only the wisdom and the power of God that makes your knowledge very potent. And he has said in his word that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So if you dwell on carnality, you just discover that that's your very wise wisdom can be foolishness to others. But if you trust on God, that wisdom that God will give you, it will appear as if people have never heard it before. It will appear as if, wow, where is this person coming from? Do you understand? So you should know that wisdom of God serves as catalyst to make your knowledge very, very potent. We've had several talents in this country that they've never been showcased anywhere. You know, of recent, somebody embarked on a cookathon, says, I want to cook for 96 hours. Do you understand? There are several other things that people can do. And all of a sudden, we saw one small boy that came up and said, but I was not recognized. I've gotten 6 Guinness World Record. I've broken 6 Guinness World Record. And all those things. It is the grace of God that showcases man. It is not by power. It is not by might. Number 3, the wisdom of God helps you make good judgment. Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Let's open to Proverbs 9, 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit is understanding, of the Holy is understanding. So wisdom helps you make good judgment. There are cases that you are faced with, and then you have to make instant decision. How do you make those decisions if you are not full of the wisdom of God? There are cases that they will ask you some questions, and they are waiting for you to make mistakes in your answer or your choices, and then you're done for it. But it is the wisdom of God. Just see when Jesus was about to start his ministry. They said the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple, and then he said, "See this entire world, I'll give it to you. Just bow down to me." Somebody who has been fasting 40 days, 40 nights, and then he offered him something. But God, because he has the wisdom of God, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Satan was just tempting him. He knew that he could survive, but Satan wanted him to just commit an error with his mouth. And they say, confession is possession. So the wisdom of God is what helps you to make good judgment. It checks your emotion. It checks your emotional intelligence. Some people today, they have staff that they work with. They come into the office in the morning, they're just shouting, banging the table, and do you expect productivity from staff? No. There's what they call emotional intelligence. It is only wisdom that helps you. So when you come in the morning, do you even look at your staff and look at their countenances? Because they say a happy staff is a happy business. There was a bank that says, happy customer, happy bank. So if people are not happy, how do you expect them to be productive? They won't be productive. There's something in management they call management by walking around. Have you heard about it before? It's a concept in advanced management. Management by walking around. So what it means is when you get to your place of work in the morning, you walk around, you look at the faces of your employees, you look at the faces of people, then you can interact well with them. If you see somebody who is looking draw and down, you ask the person, "I hope you're fine. Is there any issue? Do you want to go back home?" That's the way that people think that, oh, this person cares about me. And then they can also give their 100%. Intelligence is very, very important, and it comes from the wisdom of God. And how you also relate. You are home, your wife just came back, maybe she's looking, you're not even asking, "How was work today?" The next thing is, "I've been hungry since, I've been waiting for you." So if you are hungry, can't you enter the kitchen and cook yourself? Must you wait? Must the hunger kill you before she now comes back? And then you are saying, "Go and cook, go and cook." Maybe the boss has bashed her in the office, the memo she submitted, she didn't do well, and she's looking down. And then you are bringing your own to say, "It is pounded yam, I want to eat tonight." She'll just be looking at you. Maybe you go and marry somebody from your village. You know, and such things could lead to fights. Honestly, as trivial as it is, you're not a good person. "I knew since the day I married you, you will never cook." Just because of pounded yam that night, while I started, emotional intelligence, making the right judgment. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, it is wisdom that sharpens your skills. This is where Solomon was asking God. God gave him a blank check. He said, "Ask for anything," as young as he was. And then he asked God that, "These so great people that you have given to me, give me the wisdom to lead them." And God said, because you have asked for wisdom, you've not asked for riches, you've not asked for anything, you only asked for, and God gave him every other thing. Now, it is very rare to see leaders that have genuine wisdom. Since the days of Obafemi Awolowo, I'm not sure we've had any visionary in Nigeria that has worked like that man. Some of the legacies he left behind is still enduring, is still standing today. There was a day I was going to Ife. The road they constructed during their days is better than the one that of Blessed Memory construct. They've even walked on that road 3 times. It's still not good. The one Obafemi Awolowo had done way back is still there. Look at Cocoa House. How long has it been? Look at the houses they are building now in Ikoyi and Banana Island, collapsing almost every day. The wisdom of God, the skill. So if you don't have the wisdom of God, how do you sharpen your skill? Ask God today to say, in all areas of my life, give me the required wisdom, and God will give unto you. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21, the wisdom of God, it leads to self-preservation. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. My son, let not them depart. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. 22. Move to 22, please. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. 23. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. So if you don't want to stumble, if you want to walk in the way very safe and sound, it is the grace of God, it is the wisdom of God. During the days when there were lots of kidnappings, we thank God now it has subsided. On Lagos Ibadan, kidnappings everywhere. You know, my prayer then is, God, anytime these kidnappers are coming, please let them finish operation before I pass. Or let me pass first before they start. The day they kidnap somebody recently, we don't pray for it. But you see, you have to ask God to lead you, to guide you aright. That day, we were coming to Ibadan. And for one reason or the other, my driver was just misbehaving. He was just doing one thing. He was just saying, Ogbeni, why are you doing like this? Not knowing, if he had moved as fast as possible, we would be at that spot at that time that thing happened. But because something was just happening, I just took, well, whatever it is, we shall get to about any time. So we got there. As we were getting there, we saw those three cars that they kidnapped all the people inside. I still saw them fresh. The double pointers were on the road, so we just passed those cars. Well, when I got to about an hour, I realized that they said they kidnapped somebody. We don't pray that they should kidnap people. But the Bible says that when you ask his wisdom, he will guide us from all evil and he won't lead us into all those temptations. So wisdom gives you self-preservation. There is a country, the United Arab Emirates, because of the wisdom, I don't know how they got it. They've caused artificial rain. It's a natural desert. They don't have artificial rain. They just harvested their first set of grains maybe some months ago. They just built a Yankari park, 8 kilometers wide square. You can imagine, and they brought 100,000 trees from Africa. So they said, if you want to go to a safari, you don't need to go to Kenya or all those places again. Just come to Dubai. There's a ready-made safari with 100,000 trees uprooted from Africa to go and plant in those places. Those are people thinking. Those are people. And God says, they cannot give to us. Why are we struggling? Today, somebody just launched a mega petrochemical that can refine 650,000 barrels of crude oil. That is more than sufficient to take care of our immediate need in Nigeria. That will reduce our foreign exchange dependency by almost $40 billion. That will save a lot of money. We just need wisdom in this country. And I pray that the Lord will give to us in Jesus' name. Lastly, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 10b. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 10, the B part of it. The B part of it says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. So I pray today that if you seek the wisdom of God, that wisdom will help you to succeed in all areas of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So I end with this to say, seek wisdom and you will win always. Thank you very much.